soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on March 10th, 2016. This is a very important message. It isn't for everyone. It is for disciples or for followers of Jesus. And it could be for those that believe on the Lord, but it depends. By listening and receiving and hearing the following as I go through the scriptures and talk about these things, you decide whether it's for you or for you not. In the book of John, chapter 8, it's a grieving chapter where Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. And the dynamics of people that were very religious and had scrolls of the Old Testament written with the law of Moses, the books of the Psalms, the Proverbs, the writings, the prophets. But for the most part, the people would not keep those things. And even as the history of Israel and Judah, they were a very sad disappointment to God, a grieving disappointment to the Lord, an offense with many things throughout the years. And those things were written down so that those coming in the future, that is even present now, that we would learn from the errors of Israel and Judah. The hours come, and it is the hour to worship God in spirit and truth. And this is why God has given us the scriptures, because the word of God is the truth. That Jesus Christ, him coming to his own and coming even to the world as the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth, and he has taught us the truth. And in this book, John, chapter 8, particularly, it shows how the religious twist and oppose and resist the Lord Jesus Christ. They were religious leaders, and they led the masses of the people, the culture of a religious culture. They put people in bondage. They lived hypocritical lives, which meant they had an appearance. They would sound trumpets before their great marvelous works. They loved this to be esteemed in the eyes of men. They taught for doctrines, commandments of men, traditions of men that violated the word of God and made their worship vain. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 7. Through this book, you'll see Jesus teaching, speaking the words from the Father. They were spiritual, but they would judge according to the flesh because they were carnal, worldly hypocrites. Grieving, provoking, testing, finding fault with Jesus. Continuously. Hardening their heart against conviction. All these things are seen in this chapter. You judge after the flesh, Jesus said. I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. He would quote the word. He would argue with them. He would relay the scriptures to teach them, to inform them, to instruct them. But would they receive it? That's why I say these words today of this message are for disciples, for those that would hear gladly the words of the Lord and believe in their heart. And follow him and be instructed. Jesus said, I don't come to condemn you, but my word will judge you. We all have to be taught by the Lord. We all have to be instructed. And a wise man loves to be instructed. He increases in wisdom. But the fool, no, he despises it, rejects it, and goes on his way unchanged, dying in their sin. Jesus talked about this. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these things, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Do you see that? Jesus says, oh, it's not enough to believe. It's not enough to have the revelation that Jesus Christ truly is the fulfillment of the word of God that was spoken through the Psalms, through the proverb, through the prophets, through the law. It all, in the volume of the book, it is written of Jesus. He's the one. It is he. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have a lot of things to be instructed of. The Lord gave us these things and wrote down the history of the failings of Israel and Judah, how they would absorb absolute abomination from the other nations when God called them to be unique and a special treasure, a unique people with God Almighty, the invisible God, as their king. Oh, but they insisted on being just like the other nations, and they became corrupted through their great leaders like Solomon, the son of David, the king. Solomon was corrupted, and he despised God's command to be separate, and he married 300 women with 700 concubines of women of the world, and they corrupted him, and it angered the Lord, it grieved the Lord, and he learned to do abominations of the various nations, worshiping their gods, building temples, building altars, and sacrificing and burning incense. This is Solomon, who the Lord God appeared to twice. That's how people have known the truth. They wander from the truth because they love something else more than the Lord God. It's not important to them to have God in their heart. Their heart wanders and drifts. And it could be things of the world. It could be self-pleasure. It could be the lust of the eyes, covetousness, or the pride of life. But these things are to be crucified through Christ. That is the solution. That is the victory into liberty that's in Jesus Christ. But all these things are written for our learning. Let's talk about something very important to understand. In John chapter 9, Jesus healed a man that was blind from his youth. And he did so in front of the religious ones. It was a great illustration, a great exposure of their hypocrisy and their despising of God, even though they would keep Sabbath and holidays and tithe, anise, mint. They despised Jesus for healing this man, even though it was written in the word that the Lord God, in Psalm 146:8, the Lord says, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Have you not heard that Jesus healed a woman that was bound by Satan for 18 years that couldn't stand up? Or the blind that were healed by Jesus? It's in the word. In John 9, the Lord healed the man. And the Pharisees said, oh, he's not of God because he healed on a Sabbath. They harassed the man that was healed, inquiring, who is he? Who did this healing? What does the man know? All he knows was he was blind and now he can see. And Jesus approaches him and talks to him. Since the world began, they said, it's never been heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. And if this were not of God, he could do nothing, they said. They answered and said unto him, you were altogether born in sins, and do you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? He said to the man he had healed. And the blind man that now sees said, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." Ladies and gentlemen, John 9:39. Did you know that Jesus came to give sight to the blind? Did you know that he came to give blindness to those that say they see, but are spiritually blind because of the callousness of their hearts? And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" What an odd question to ask Jesus, but obviously very much under conviction and very much confused at the mighty hand of God that was being displayed, healing a blind man, blind since his birth. Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, how dangerous it is to be religious, but not to walk in humility as a child before the Lord? Very interesting text. This is like that which is written in Isaiah 29. Let's read this. Isaiah 29, 10 through 13. And then later in the chapter. "For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, has he covered. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, 'Read this, I pray you.' And he said, 'I cannot, for it is sealed.' And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, 'Read this, I pray you.' And he says, 'I am not learned.'" Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the leaders of Israel and Judah. The Lord judged them by giving them the spirit of deep sleep and closed their spiritual eyes. The prophets that should hear at the mouth of the Lord and prophesy what the Lord says. And the seers that could see vision from the Lord, revelation, and the rulers were blinded, and the book was closed, sealed, and no one could uncover what it means. Oh, they could quote it, but they had no understanding, and they wouldn't certainly walk in it. Verse 13, "Wherefore the Lord said, 'For as much as this people draws near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me.'" And in Mark chapter 7, another text where it quotes this, it says they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. They put men's teachings and doctrines and limited perceived understandings on the same par as God's word. And it's twisted, and it's filled with leaven. A little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. It's got false teaching in it. And this is what Jesus warned his disciples, his followers. He said, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. It'll ruin you." "Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?'" What they do in secret is a shame to even speak of those things they do in darkness, but the light exposes that which is done in the darkness. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18, "And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. And the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Who do you rejoice in? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Is he your teacher? Is he your instructor? Is he your revealer? Is he opening through you the words of truth by the Holy Spirit? Excellent counsels that are hidden from the wise and the prudent, but given unto babes. Oh, if we don't humble ourselves as a child, we can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. We always stay humble before the Lord as a child, trusting in the Lord for everything. And as a blind man that cannot see, we hold the hand of the Lord to lead us through the dark world because he's our light, because he's our strength. But the religious, not so. They trust in lying words, smooth words, vain words, words of men that cannot save or heal or be the truth at all. Shows the religious ones that mock, hinder, oppose, resist the Lord and his servants that he sends, bringing reproof in the gates. They find fault with a word, the most minute, minuscule gnat, but they'll swallow a camel. This is what they did to Jesus. This is what they did to John the Baptist. This is what they do to all those that follow the Lord. That's the way it is. Amazing. I spoke of Solomon in 1 Kings 11:12. And then Solomon dies. His son rises up and continuing in his pattern of his father, doing the works of his father, invents a festival and celebration to the pagan gods. These are the things that are written in Israel's history, in Judah's history. And a prophet was sent by the Lord, and he prophesied against the altar, and the mighty hand of God was displayed in power. God's cleaning his house, ladies and gentlemen. And the same defilement that happened in Israel and Judah has happened in the religious world of Christianity, of churchianity, of the religious business, of the merchandising of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the same today as it was yesterday. It's the same today, and it shall be. But there's a remnant of people, as there always has been a remnant of people, that haven't bowed the knee to Baal and worshipped the false gods, participated in the leaven of hypocrisy. Do you hear the Lord today? In Jeremiah 7, the Lord said through Jeremiah, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Listen, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. The Lord reminds them of Shiloh, and what God did with Shiloh. He raised it up, only to write Ichabod, and God departed from it because of the abomination that was insisted on by the people. It's written. It's written. It's written. These practices of abominations of the Queen of Heaven, Ashtaroth, Semiramis, known in the secular world, this goddess and her son Tammuz, under different names of different regions over the world. The practices, they worshiped the sun, the S-U-N. They would face the east. Many abominations, and these things were introduced by Solomon, whom God was angered about. They were introduced and defiled the worship of the people. Ever heard of the word Easter? Comes from the word Ishtar, Yoster, which is this goddess that we're speaking of, a detestable goddess and her son Tammuz. Ladies and gentlemen, this ancient practice introduced into Israel and Judah with Solomon and other leaders of the past have inserted into the religion of the people. And when Jesus came to his own, they were still keeping traditions that violated the word of God, even after they went into the exile into Babylon after the ministry of Jeremiah. Nothing is new under the sun, but there's a remnant of people that follow the Lord and continue in his word, and they are his disciples. But it is commenced by believing upon the Lord and listening to him and changing. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, who was a Pharisee, trained in all the religion of the Jews, persecuting Christians, met Jesus Christ and repented. He was ignorant and in unbelief, and he was taught by the Lord. No flesh, no man, no Bible school, but Paul was taught by the Lord. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and following? He was rebuking the Corinthians for their liberal immorality and acceptance of sexual sin in the assembly. And he said, you're already puffed up. Your glorying is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Listen, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Paul is making it clear here that Jesus Christ is our Passover. He fulfills the feast that was ordained by God in Deuteronomy 16, in Leviticus 23, in Exodus 23, in Exodus 12. The event of Passover was when the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt at a set time, at an appointed time, and they took the unblemished lamb and obeyed the Lord in sacrificing it and putting the blood on the door and the lintel. And they were delivered from Egypt, from Pharaoh, with mighty power of God. And they crossed through the Red Sea, figurative of baptism, and they went into the land in the wilderness, and God fed them on a day-to-day basis. But they went forth in haste, and they had unleavened bread, which is all figurative of Jesus. He is our unleavened bread. He is the feast of unleavened bread. He has no sin. What has happened today is that people have departed from this truth of Paul here in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8, where Jesus is our Passover. And Paul says, therefore, let us keep the feast. Keep the feast. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, simpleness, childlikeness, purity. But what has the devil been able to do through these false leaders is introduce the ancient pagan motif system of false gods and goddesses and their rituals and their rites. And the people have not sanctified the Lord, and they participated trying to Christianize paganism. Even rising up early on Easter Sunday, facing the east at the rise of the sun. These are ancient rituals, ladies and gentlemen. And the Lord is calling you out of this. Come outside the camp to bear his reproach. Touch not the unclean thing. Why should you be separate from these pagan rituals? Number one, to be of the truth. Because Easter is not the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number two, it is to be separate from uncleanness and paganism and the pollution of idols. And not to associate Jesus Christ with these horrible things. And the third thing is to remember the sins of Israel. These things are written so we would learn not to pursue the same things. Nothing is new under the sun. We aren't under the law of Moses. But God has put into the stars and the orbit of the celestial bodies, the moon, for example, so we can know and determine when the time of the feast is. Because it was a certain time that Jesus died on the preparation day of the Passover. When they were killing the lambs for the Passover, Jesus died. It's the first month of the year. This is written in Deuteronomy 16:1, Exodus 12:2. Read these things. Continue in the word, and you will be his disciple indeed. But Jesus is our Passover. And let us keep the feast, not in hypocrisy, not in religion, but in sincerity and truth. Praise the Lord. Stay tuned for To The Point Report with Trevor Davis, RealtyReportNetwork.com. And To The Point Report with Trevor Davis. Today's March 10th, 2016, a Thursday. Great economic news across the board. It'll affect the world. Recently, Jimmy Rogers' famous investment fund manager, Roger Holdings Chairman Jim Rogers, is certain that the U.S. economy will be in recession in the next 12 months, as reported by Bloomberg Business. During an interview on Bloomberg TV with Guy Johnson, the famous investor said that there was a 100% probability that the U.S. economy would be in a downturn within 1 year. Ladies and gentlemen, we've already seen within last year, since August 11, the failure of the Dow Jones Industrial Average as one indicator of the global economies, breaking through 200-day and other issues, such as the Chinese yuan was devalued that day. And August 25th, 2015, we saw the largest decline in the Dow Jones Industrial Average in history. Beginning of the new year in 2016, the worst opening of a Dow Jones Industrial Average in a new year ever. Again, more records. We've had severe warnings by people in the know that said you should actually have water and canned goods and plans to meet with your family when the next economic crash does begin, because it'll be catastrophic. It'll affect everybody everywhere. So, ladies and gentlemen, right now we're seeing the Dow Jones and other stock markets bounce, but they're still weak. The fundamentals haven't changed. And here's a warning by an investor named Jimmy Rogers. It's been 7 years, 8 years since we had the last recession in the U.S., he said. And normally, historically, we have them every 4 to 7 years for whatever reason. And at least we always have, he said. It doesn't have to happen in 4 to 7 years, but look at the debt. The debt is staggering, he said, quote unquote. Another economic story, as reported by The Times, global fears as markets lose faith in central banks. Instead, the global economy is heading for a storm as faith in policymakers dwindles, according to a stark warning from one of the world's most respected financial institutions. The uneasy calm in financial markets last year has given way to turbulence. The Bank for International Settlements, that's the BIS, Bank for International Settlements, it's the bank for the central banks, ladies and gentlemen, known as the central bank for the world's central banks, said in its latest quarterly report. Financial markets are losing faith in the healing power of central banks and their latest policy weapon, negative interest rates. That's where banks charge depositors for holding their funds. Another story by Yahoo. Euro gains. The United States stocks are flat. The European Central Bank signals an end to rate cuts. Ladies and gentlemen, appears the markets are in a slow slide. I'm Trevor Davis, RealtyReportNetwork.com. This has been a production of RealtyReportNetwork.com with Trevor Davis.
We hope you find this broadcast helpful. To contact Trevor Davis, go to RealtyReportNetwork.com or call 866-536-4605.